What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All-22 NFL Podcast. You have Chris and Ray. If you haven't yet, go visit all-22.com or go to the App Store and download the app today. Sign up. You can start creating leagues, getting ready for your draft, which will be possible right after the NFL draft in April. But the reason we are here today, Ray, is to start discussing the NFL Combine, which is scheduled for Thursday. Very exciting stuff. A lot to look forward to. But first, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Like you said, the combine is coming up, which means we are definitely in full-fledged draft season now. So you have the combine, going to be some pro days coming up. And then before you know it, it's April 4th and it's draft night. So I think we're about 60 days away, which it can't be much better than that. So looking forward to it. It's our favorite time of year.
Dude, it's so crazy. Cause like we did safeties, corners, edge rushers. We're doing defensive interiors this week, but we still have a lot of positions to get through and like big boards to make and stuff. So pressure's on for us, dude. We have a lot to get done before this draft.
Yeah. It seems like we have a lot of time and then we don't, but as you all know, we're going to get you what you need. We're going to cover every position group. Like Chris said, we already did our film breakdowns of several already, mostly on the defensive side. So check it out if you haven't already. By the time draft night rolls around, we will have covered every position group, giving you everything you need to know with the film breakdowns, what to expect, and the best landing spots for those prospects for their All-22 and NFL futures.
Absolutely. So it does start this Thursday, the NFL Combine. So, Ray, there are a couple noteworthy things I learned today. Abdul Carter, because of the shoulder injury, will not be competing in the Combine. Genty, the running back, will also not be participating. Those are essentially two of the maybe three or four elite prospects in this draft. Definitely unfortunate we don't get to see those guys. But Travis Hunter is another one of the elite prospects that we will get to see at the combine, you know, God willing. And the comps so far, people are talking about him and Champ Bailey, right? As comparable players. Champ Bailey, I looked up his combine, 4.28 40 time. Watching Travis Hunter's film, like it might actually be possible that he achieves that, but that is like a very high bar to set for Travis Hunter.
It is. And I really don't even care if he does hit that or not. I mean, he can run a 4.38 and I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like he's very fast and it's evident on tape and you could see it. I'm actually surprised to me it's news that he is participating in the combine. I mean, he literally participated. He basically played like five college seasons in three because he was full-time both ways for his whole career. So to that end, it's like, what else does he really have to prove? But yeah, if he's going to test, I'm sure he's going to test incredibly well and I'm excited for it, but it's not going to tell us anything we don't already know, that he is incredibly fast. He is incredibly agile. He's explosive. He's well-coordinated. And depending on what you draft him for, he can get the job done at receiver or corner. So I'm just excited to watch a prospect like that at the combine if he follows through with it.
Two other prospects towards the top of the draft that people are talking about is probably top 10 picks. I think the combine is going to be pretty important for these guys. Mason Graham, the defensive interior from Michigan, and Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU. Those two guys are both having questions about their size, right? Their length, their ability to actually achieve that elite level at those positions. Will Mason Graham prove that he's big enough, strong enough, fast enough to actually be an elite prospect? Both of us, right? When we watched his film, one of the things we took away, and this is kind of like a teaser for the episode we're doing later this week, but one of our takeaways was this guy has kind of elite intangibles where like his reaction time, his ability to read plays, things like that are phenomenal. But does he actually have elite power? Does he actually have elite strength and speed? Does he have those movement skills, the hand battling skills that, you know, a lot of the other elite defensive interior players that we've reviewed have? Does he prove that this week? Does he actually prove it at the combine?
Michigan players typically test well in the shuttles and three cones. So I think agility wise, he will check all those boxes and probably wow people. And those typically aren't even shown on the television broadcast. So people aren't going to see that anyway. But I think outside of that, I think there are going to be questions about his frame and his length coming out of this. Just arm length, wingspan overall, just that physical frame, I think is going to be the question coming out of this, or rather it is a question coming into this. I don't think it's going to change coming out of this. But I do think testing wise agility, he's going to be fine. And I think he's going to be above baseline for everything else. It's just at the level of prospect that we view Mason Graham as, right, who's basically, you either consider him one of the elite players in this class or just below that, and for sure a, you know, surefire top 10 or 8 prospect in the class, he might not have the wow explosion or just physical overall frame that you might expect from a defensive interior at that level of prospect, like a Derrick Brown was, for example. He's not that type of player or that type of physical specimen, but I don't think he's going to fall, or I don't anticipate him falling from, you know, his results on the combine, both testing wise and just overall measurement wise, because I think, I don't think there's many good enough prospects in this class at the very top to kind of bump him down anyway. But I think the tape is just so good there that his stock is going to stay relatively even to where it is.
So how about the Will Campbell, you know, again, tackle out of LSU, supposedly at, I think it was the Senior Bowl, he measured his arm length and it was just passable for a tackle, but will a team actually draft him as a tackle or, you know, move him to guard based on what happens at the combine this week?
Yeah, that's the overall question to me. I think he's best at guard, but I think given the state of the tackle position in this draft class, a team will draft him to play tackle because there's just not much else out there. Josh Simmons from Ohio State, to me, would have been the number one tackle and might still be my number one tackle, but he was out with a knee injury. Hope is to be ready by training camp, so we don't see him test this week either. But there's so few tackles out there, and tackle is such an important need for someone that they're going to draft Will Campbell and likely place him at tackle. Whether or not that's his best position based on his measurements and style of play is a whole nother topic. We just did the film breakdown of Shamar Stewart last week, and you saw on full display how that length disparity really matters and can hinder someone like Will Campbell.
Absolutely. There's one other prospect before we jump into like the ones we're excited about watching, but one other guy, Malachi Starks, my comp for him when we did the safety review was Brian Branch, the Lions safety. And Brian Branch, if you remember, actually fell in the draft, right, to the mid second round, kind of because of his combine performance, right? He ended up running a 4.58. When you're talking about these elite defensive backs in the NFL, teams typically want to see speed because the receivers are so darn fast. These guys need to be able to keep up, right? So Brian Branch falling in the drafts, he was only 6 feet tall, 190 pounds, but that 4.58, I think, really turned teams off, right? But he's been fantastic in the pros. Starks on film looked like a very similar prospect to me, similar agility, all of those things. You know, I think a worry that I have is maybe that's going to be what happens for him too, but I don't know, right? Like that's one I'm just looking out for as well.
Yeah, you could be 6 feet, you could be 198 pounds. You just have to run faster than 4.58 if those are your measurements. I anticipate Starks will run faster than that. I think he'll probably be in a little bit bigger than that. And similar to tackle, there's not a ton of great safeties out there. So, you know, I have Makuba as my number one guy. I think I'm just going to declare that now. He just is. So, you know, that's one I'm excited to see. But outside of that, the position is not very deep. So to me, as long as Starks hits the baseline numbers, if he's around just a 4.5, you know, low 4.5 while being at 6'1", 200-ish pounds, I think he'll be fine. I don't think his stock will take a hit one way or the other. Safety to me is kind of one of the more inflexible positions at the top of the group because it's just not very deep. So if you need one, the guys are the guys, and you know how you grade them is how you grade them. So there's not many alternatives to fall back on if someone doesn't have a wow combine performance to me, which if that's what you're doing, you're probably overrating the combine in any event, no pun there, but that's not something, you know, that's not something, especially at a position like that, I want to, you know, make too much of a change in over that, because I mean, you just gave the perfect example, Brian Branch. If, you know, if he fell because of that, then that was a big mistake for every team who did that. So I don't anticipate that happening with Starks either.
All right. Well, why don't we jump into it? You lead us off. Tell me, who are you excited to see at the combine? What are you most excited to see?
So we talked about Mason Graham, but I am super excited about Kenneth Grant, the other Michigan defensive tackle. I've mentioned him here and there on some of our previous episodes, but to me, I mean, he's a physical marvel. I think he's a clear top 12 player in this draft class easily. He was clocked at 18.75 miles per hour this past year, and he weighs 350 pounds. I think he's incredibly powerful, incredibly, for his size, especially explosive. I think he's got just this explosive strength that I think I just want to see this guy just move, because you're going to see him move as well as some of the 318 pound type of guys in this class, except he's going to weigh in probably at around 350. And I think he's just super powerful. I think he moves well for that size. I think people are going to be buzzing about him after this weekend for sure.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm so jealous, dude. I gave you all of the defensive interiors that are like those big body guys that I typically love. And yeah, I'm a little jealous. Kenneth Grant being one of them. So one of the positions I'm most excited for, and I think that like we talked about it, right? There's a huge debate happening right now between James Pierce and Mike Green. And I think the combine could be a deciding factor between those two guys, right? If one of them shows up and runs a 4.3 or something crazy like that, right? One of them ends up being 10 pounds heavier than the other, puts up another 10 reps on the bench, something like that, something difference making. I do think it'll have a huge impact on which one of those guys gets drafted first.
Yeah. And the measurements too, not even just testing. You mentioned the weight, but yeah, how, what is the arm length? I think Mike Green was 32 inches arm length at the Senior Bowl. Right. But, just comparing those two and splitting those hairs, I think James Pierce needs a good workout. There's been some, questions, whispers around, is there anything off the field that might cause his stock to drop, an attitude or whatever else? Those things will get answered during the interview process and throughout the pre-draft process, even after the combine. So I think there's more to be done there, but I think Pierce does stand a lot to gain as kind of a, hey, remember me? Like, I was the number one name before Abdul Carter came on board and before you started talking about all these other guys. So if he can, put his best foot forward to kind of be back in the conversation as edge two in this class, that's the storyline to watch. I like that. I didn't have that written down. So that's a good one.
Every once in a while,
for sure.
What do you got?
Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas, I think is going to absolutely fly. I don't understand why people aren't talking about him at all, it seems like, in this wide receiver class. But to me, he's a surefire first round pick, or at least he should be. And I think after this weekend, he's going to be on a lot of people's radar that he already should have been on if he wasn't already. So I think Matthew Golden's a hell of a player. He runs well, moves well. He's pretty explosive. I think he's going to have a great workout. And I think he's going to put his name in the conversation now for in the mix for the top three receivers in this class. Because I think to me, he's a top three receiver so far. So I'm excited to watch him go.
It's interesting you brought him up. And I think that's a really good one too. So, nice job coming up with a good one.
Don't gas me up. It's fine. You got to butter me up.
But similar to the conversation I just had about Malachi Starks and Brian Branch, a lot of the comps with Golden is Stephon Diggs, right? And similar kind of situation. Diggs ends up falling to the second round. And is it because he ended up measuring at 6 foot 195 and running a 4.46? Some of his other stuff, 9.97 broad jump, 35 inch vert. Like it's decent, right? But it's not necessarily blow you out of the water numbers that like a guy like Diggs in college wasn't uber productive, like outstanding, right? From Maryland, it's not like he was playing at a big time school. Golden, similar kind of situation, not that he didn't play at a big school, but it really was more 1 year of major production. So that is an interesting one as well. If he really is the Diggs comp, will he at least outperform him so that his draft stock doesn't get hurt for similar reasons?
Yeah, and I think he can. I think combine wise, I think he can put up a better workout than that. There were some other questions surrounding Diggs, and I I think you said second, but I know you meant fifth for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Trayvon was the one in the second round. But yeah, I do think Golden can have a better workout than that. You know, the frame wise, I'm not sure, you know, if he has like, you know, Diggs doesn't have a great, you know, arm length or wingspan either for a receiver. So not the end of the world, given the archetype of receiver, obviously they come in all shapes and sizes, but I do think Golden can have a better workout than that. And likely, again, to me, he's a first round pick on tape, period. There might have been some other reasons too why Diggs fell to the fifth. So there were some other factors there, you know, that kind of precipitated that. But I do think Golden can eclipse that for sure, workout wise.
Okay. All right. Well, my next one that I had, you're not going to love. But I do think that similar to what you were saying about James Pierce, right? James Pierce being this number one edge all offseason, then kind of gets blown away by Abdul Carter. I think there's a similar story to be told about Colston Loveland, who is the tight end out of Michigan and who everyone in the preseason was saying was tight end one. And also that he was like not Brock Bowers level, but like in that mold and not that far off from that kind of a prospect, right? Now we're a year later and Tyler Warren is getting all of the hype, but does Colston Loveland go into the combine and, you know, blow it out of the water with his speed? Does he put up a Brock Bowers type performance where he proves he's fast, strong, good measurements, right? Maybe has enough weight to even be more of a blocking tight end than he was in college, right? Certain things I think could really help him. And I don't think teams forgot how good he was basically in the championship year, right? The entire Michigan team took a step back this year. They still won some big games, but they did take a step back. I think that there's still a lot of love for Loveland, pun intended, where I think that the draft stock between him and Tyler Warren is probably closer than the media is letting on. Although I agree, Tyler Warren is still the better prospect. I do think there's a conversation to be had.
Tight end is, overall is sneaky good this year. Not even just those two and then Fannin, but you have Arroyo as well from Maryland. There's a decent crop of tight ends overall, but agreed. The whole Michigan team kind of just fell off the radar this year as a whole. And that, I mean, a lot of that goes back to, I mean, guys like Will Johnson, who didn't play much this year, right? The nagging injuries, which again, if officially that injury report should say, you know, Michigan 7-5, and that's why he sat out those games, to be honest, because he absolutely could have played through some things. But that's another one too, that to me, I'm interested in seeing him and if he runs at the combine period and what he runs, because we did our breakdown of Will Johnson. He's a very good player, but the long speed was a question. In that corner in particular, it's a fast position. You need to be fast. If he comes out and runs a 4.56, I'm not saying he falls out of the first round by any means, but I'm not sure you can definitively say you are cornerback two behind Travis Hunter if, you know, you run a bottom tier 40 and you got some other guys in this class, whether it's a Jahdae Barron, Siobhan Revelle won't work out, but guys of that ilk that people might anticipate having more upside then because of their perceived speed and what have you. I just think Will Johnson, after a down year, needs to answer some questions about his speed overall. And just have a good workout in general. Just remind people why he was a five-star who we've been talking about for 2 years now as sort of the next great cornerback to come out of Michigan, because we didn't see that in 2024, and it's about time for him to solidify why that was a conversation starter in the first place. So rooting for him to run well. If he chooses not to run at all, that's a red flag to me, and it is going to be a red flag for teams. That's one of those things that's not overrated when it comes to what you should take away from this combine workout for certain prospects. Will Johnson has to answer some questions about his speed.
So I actually had as my next one, I was going to talk about the cornerback position as a whole, right? So you mentioned Will Johnson, who I had as my number two, but Benjamin Morrison was my number three. And both of those guys have major health concerns. I didn't see anything. I just tried to look up news on Benjamin Morrison to see if he was going to compete at the combine. It doesn't say whether or not he will, but both of those guys, right? Like if I have them as two and three, there might be teams that are saying, yeah, I have them as two or three as well, but they might be, you know, 7-8 if they don't perform at the combine, because I just can't see what they look like today, right? But I honestly think the cornerback position as a whole is one that there's going to be a lot of winners and losers at the combine, right? When we talk about Barron, Revelle, Porter, Azaria Thomas, Hairston, right? Like those are all guys that if one of them shows up and runs a 4.2, or one of them shows up with like insane arm length and then also runs like a 4.3 or something, right? Like those guys are going to climb up draft boards. And then if, you know, again, like Barron is a guy that I was a little concerned about his size. If he shows up and he's actually 5.8, right? Like those are going to be concerns that
5.8. Damn, I'm just this guy.
No, I'm just joking. But in reality, right, those are things that will hurt prospects in this draft process. And it starts with the combine.
You really
is there any one of those guys that you think is going to go out and absolutely blow it away?
At the corner spot, I if it was a fringer, I would have loved to see what Ravel did. At corner, not so much. I'm more interested to see who pleasantly surprises. Trey Amos is another name that you could just throw in that mix there when it's like, okay, he's big, he's really good in press, he's long, seems to have good sort of spring in his legs vertically, but is he fast enough? That's another one I think you could throw in there. Does he perform better than you expect? I'm not sure anyone is going to blow it out of the water. The one that I thought might was probably Ravel before he got hurt. Hairston might fly. He might run really well, but that wouldn't be anything surprising to me anyway. I think, you know, he's got that in him. So it's not something I would double check, so to speak, and give him credit twice for.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, Azaria Thomas is the one that I have my eyes on because, you know, I hear so many people talking about his upside and I keep seeing mock drafts by like real, you know, NFL guys saying that he's going to be a first 15 pick kind of guy. And I didn't see it on film, right? Like I just didn't see that. So if he goes to the combine and blows it away, right, and he is clearly the most physically gifted corner, then maybe I start to understand a little bit more why people are saying what they're saying. But for me right now, I still don't have him there. And it's funny you brought up Amos. I didn't put him on that list on purpose because in my head, I just have him pegged already as either pick 33 to 40 or like, you know, three or four spots outside of that range. Because like the corners that I've watched in previous years that he reminded me of and he had similar skill sets, that's where those guys went, right? So it's like, I just like think that it's a lock. So I don't like really think he's going to have much to gain or prove at the combine, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's definitely a very specific archetype. And that should be the range where we would have him. Again, the top of this draft is not very deep. So I think there's going to be a lot of guys that you have as a typical 30 to 45 overall level prospect that gets taken at 22, 23, just because that's just kind of where things are at the top of this draft. And then, I mean, another name, I mean, Alec Iomaner, the wide receiver from Stanford, he might run really well, not a corner here, but, you know, flip into the other side, 6'2", 210, but he had really good high school track times. I think a lot of people forget that because I think he was injured early on and then just kind of stuffed away in Stanford over there in the Pacific Northwest. Not many people got to watch him play the last couple of years outside of that one big game against Colorado. That's another one that can surprise. So if we're just talking about guys running really fast, I think that's another one.
I've just been burned too often by Stanford receivers that I'm having trouble
there. He is absolutely nothing like your boy over there who couldn't like turn at all.
Arcega Whiteside.
Yeah, he's not Arcega Whiteside.
Dude ran really well at the combine, which is why he ended up being like a very early second round pick, something like that. Oof.
No, he's not that. He's not that.
Yeah. I mean, the last guy I'm really excited for is my boy, Shamar Stewart, defensive interior. He just, again, like it's that size, strength, you know, as an edge rusher. Can he actually play edge? Is he more intended for the inside? I don't know, but it's going to be important for him to show up at the combine and prove that he has speed, that he has that quickness, right, in the cone drills and things like that, that he can actually move laterally. But on top of that, I think he could really blow people away with his power. And I'm excited for that part as well. If he ends up doing like bench press, I could see him doing like 10 more reps than anybody else at the position. Like that actually might happen. Just remember I said that.
All right. So you watch the bench press competition, Chris.
I think last year, like four dudes did the bench press and like two of them were quarterbacks, no, which was weird. No one's going to bench.
Yeah. I got a couple of names just to wrap up, I guess, who we're excited about. Jihad Campbell, to me, he's the best linebacker in this draft, and I think he's going to have a very good combine. At least he looks like he would have a good combine just from the tape, and I think people are going to start talking about him more. He's starting to really pick up some buzz now because this is not a deep linebacker class at all. To me, he's LB1, and I think he's going to solidify that. Also, Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State, I'm going to plug him pretty much everywhere. I don't think it's one thing in particular that's going to just wow everybody and steal the show. He's also a guard, and guards don't really steal the show at this event. But I think his frame and just his overall body of work in the position drills and everything else, it's just going to come very easy and naturally to him. And he's going to really solidify his stock to me, he's a top 20 pick or player in this class. Whether he gets picked in the top 20 is another story, but to me, he's a top 20 player. And I think you're going to see why this weekend, but probably not going to get a ton of buzz or headlines about it because he's a guard and no one talks about those guys except us.
You said Donovan Jackson?
Donovan Jackson, yeah.
Okay, got it. All right. They have him listed as a tackle. That's why I was a little confused.
He played tackle at Ohio State because of the injuries, but he's a guard. And I think he played well enough at the end of the year that teams are going to say, oh, he can play tackle for us if we needed him to, that we like that versatility. But to me, he's 100% a guard primarily and very, very good at guard. I think if he was to play guard for the whole season in 2024, as opposed to switching to left tackle early on, or, you know, I think right around Halloween-ish, give or take, for the second half of the year, I think he would really be buzzing and really be pushing Tyler Booker as people's number one guard in the class.
Okay, I'm excited to watch him. I mean, dude, I was watching some of the defensive interior players going against Tyler Booker, and oh my gosh, I'm very excited about Tyler Booker. Like, that dude demolished some of the prospects that we're going to have to talk about in a couple days.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fun watch. People think guards can't be fun to watch. That is an incredibly fun guard to watch. He's damn good. And to me, Donovan Jackson could be just as good. We just didn't get to see it because we put him out in tackle. And the first game I think he played at tackle was like against Abdul Carter getting whooped. And then people are like, ah, okay, whatever. Just kind of forgot about it. And he just got better throughout the season and the playoffs. So, yeah, there's two very good guards at the top.
Exactly. Because, like, you know, again, like the last few years, there really weren't a lot of good interior offensive lineman classes until last year's, which was amazing. And, like, this one was looking kind of weak. But it sounds like we do have two or three guys that might be really exciting to watch. People are really excited about the Missouri kid, too. You know, I think that's one to keep an eye on as well. But, Ray, did you have anyone? You had one other guy, didn't you?
I had buyer bewares. If you want to talk about, like, you know, potential like landmines in this class, we could just go completely negative for the second half of this show because we just love ending on sour notes. You want to do that?
I mean, if you have a couple, go for it. I mean, I think a lot of the corners, like, I trust the film more than I'm going to trust what they do at the combine. So I could see that position being one, like I talked about, Azaria Thomas, like where he goes and just shows out. But is it going to actually translate in his play? I think the cornerback position is very important for that, you know, what you're talking about there. But I don't want to blow anybody's spot up. I'll let you do that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll be, you know, say hello to the bad guy. But yeah, and Azaria Thomas, I want to see how he does in the actual drills. I want to see him turn and run. That's his struggle to me. He might be big. I mean, I know he's big. He might be fast. He might be explosive. But can he actually turn and run? And is his stop start up to par to what it needs to be? I think those are the things that kind of held him back at the Senior Bowl and what you see on tape as potential question marks. So if you just watch Twitter clips of a 40-yard dash, you're not going to answer those questions about Azaria Thomas. And that could be some sort of, you know, fake hype, if you will, or inflated, you know, stock rising when the questions themselves that we have about him aren't necessarily answered there. They're answered elsewhere during the combine. But we studied this guy too. Nick Imanwari. That's my
just
going to
say it. I knew you were going there, dude.
Of course. I mean, he looks great in the uniform. He has a frame. He's big. He's long. He's fast. But again, does he turn well? Does he stop, start well? How's he going to do in the drills? He's going to have an awesome measurement or awesome measurements and likely a very good 40. He's going to run very fast. He's probably going to jump very high and do all that stuff. But when they run him through the drills, how is he going to look? Those are the question marks, not the numbers that we'll see after the fact on player profiler pages and mock draftable tables and spider charts. That's not that's not what's going to answer the questions about Nicky Minwari. So we can come out of the combine and people are buzzing about him, but he might not actually answer any questions whatsoever about his negatives.
I agree a lot, but I don't like what you said before, where this is not a good safety class. Because in previous years, there were times where I was like, there's one guy that I feel comfortable putting on the field. And this year, I think there's at least four guys that I'm like, they're probably day one starters, right? And that's like, that's a real step up from the last few classes. Yes, it's not like other positions where there's going to be eight guys being day one starters, but even four is good for safety.
That is fair context. That is fair context. I'll also say the same kind of goes for Shamar Stewart. We know he's going to be big. He's going to be fast. He's going to have a great frame. But how does he run the hoop? Because when we checked the tape there, you know, his initial get off was great. His strength was good. The length was there. You saw the length. He was pushing people backwards, kind of reset the line of scrimmage at times, but he wasn't really turning the corner and finishing from the edge, which again, if you think he's going to be an inside guy, that's a little less concerning, but still people are going to be buzzing about him, and he might like be bottom tier at the actual running of the hoop among all the linemen. So just throwing it out
such
there.
Such a terrible take.
We saw it.
He might
Mykel
set the
Williams.
Record.
I want to see him run the hoop too. Mykel Williams. Can you run the hoop? Then that way I know it's just a matter of strength as to why you couldn't turn the corner against Texas when I was watching you on film. So is it strength because you're just 20 years old?
I think Mykel Williams is going to do fine at the combine. He's a guy that's like, he's probably going to be a combine monster. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not going to trust it. Like Shamar Stewart, I don't like expect him to be the top guy at any of these drills. But if he proves to me that he can do them well, I think it'll say a lot, right? So that's why I disagree with your take. I think if he's even half defense.
Yeah, but if you take Shamar Stewart and put him with the defensive tackles, his numbers are going to look great. Like, yeah, maybe not to the edge guys because he's got the same position group as like Mike Green. But if you put him with like Derek Harmon and Tyleek Williams, I'm sure his combine workout like numbers wise will hold up with those guys. So maybe that's it. I'm considering him like a D tackle when I talk about this. Cause yeah, he's not going to
such a terrible take.
Dude, what do you mean? That's exactly what it is. If he's a defensive interior player, a defensive tackle, his numbers can be freak show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I heard he's going to set the record for all positions at 10 yard split. So just remember I said that too.
I can't tell if you're just being sarcastic with me or not.
I'm being sarcastic.
But,
yeah.
But okay.
Who else you got on your buyer beware? Who else is named? Do you want to just smear?
Those were the two as examples. So I didn't want to just run through a list of buyer bewares. It's just more so like, if you know someone's going to run fast, don't move them up because they ran fast, right? That's the main thing you hear a lot about with the NFL combine is don't double count certain things. Xavier Worthy set the record last year, so you should not have moved him up if you expected him to run very fast because you knew he was already fast. The same applies here. If you know somebody has a great frame and is big and powerful, you shouldn't move them up because they measure in looking nice and with, you know, big and with a big and powerful frame. Like that's part of the stock price. So to me, it's all about, you know, answering questions that you may have for a given prospect, whether it is speed, health, or just, you know, general frame, you know, length and things of that sort, or how they move. Those questions, it differs from prospect to prospect. So go into the combine looking for either confirmation or questions to be answered, and don't overvalue those in the sense of, again, you know, someone's going to run fast. Don't move him up your board because he ran fast. So that's the only thing. If you know someone has short arms, don't move Will Campbell down now because he has short arms at the combine. You should have already taken that into account before going into this weekend. Move them up if they, you know, are a half inch longer than you thought or something maybe, but don't move him down even further for something you already dinged him for way before this. That's where you get into trouble. That's when you overcorrect, and that's when you miss out on Brian Branch, like you mentioned at the start of this podcast, and the Lions get a steal.
All right. So let's end on a more positive note, or at least a fun note. Is there anybody at the combine that you think has the potential to like break a record?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I think Travis Hunter is incredibly fast. I don't think he's fast enough to threaten any records. Yeah, I don't think so. Like an all-time record. All-time record, I don't think so. I mean, for an offensive lineman, like a trench player, even if it's just like measurement-wise, like who was dude from Georgia last year, got drafted by the Bengals, whose now name is escaping me.
Marius Mims.
Marius Mims had like the best of everything frame-wise, right? Like the arm length, just the height, the weight, and it was like he wasn't sloppy or bad weight at all. Like, so I don't think no trench player is going to top that. And then speed-wise, I don't see anyone topping Xavier Worthy. I think people are doing less of the shuttles and cone drills, which is a shame because especially the cone drills, I think, for tight ends are very important. And I think the shuttle for guards in particular, I probably should have mentioned this when talking about Donovan Jackson and you mentioned Tyler Booker. The shuttles are very important for those guys as well. That short area quickness is a huge indicator of success in the NFL. And so that's something to look out for in general for guards. But as far as setting records, I don't think so. Maybe you asked that because there's an obvious one and I'm just completely missing it, but I don't see it.
No, not really. And I mean, in the combine, it's usually the guy that's like borderline undraftable that ends up running some insane numbers, right? It's kind of like, you know, you have track stars out there. These are guys that might actually be track stars that converted to football players. So there's really not. I think one guy that I'm very interested in is Darian Porter, who I kind of talked about where I don't think he really knows how to play corner yet because it was his first year doing it and he looked like it was his first year doing it. But there was that play where he chases down Caleb Johnson. Is that who am I thinking of? The running back from Iowa.
Yeah, Johnson.
Yeah,
okay. Iowa running back.
Caleb Johnson, yeah. He runs him down from the opposite side of the field when he had a breakaway run down the sideline. So, like, seeing that play just on its own, maybe Darian Porter is, like, crazy fast. And maybe, you know, I don't think he's, like, 4-1 something fast, but, like, there's a chance he's really, really fast, right?
Maybe. So. Or just game speed. He was just inspired. I mean, that's a thing, too. And I think to that point, it's like we have more data now when it comes to like actual game speeds being recorded and such to where in general, even, I mean, we know the limitations of the 40-yard dash already. Those have been well established. And I think the advent of and the growth of recording of game speeds kind of helps bridge that gap between the 40-yard dash and its limitations to where we could look at some of that more. And I would imagine his game speed numbers it's possible that they simply, you know, overshadow his 40. His 40 might be pedestrian, but game speed wise is something entirely different because that was an impressive display there from Porter to hawk him down from that far out. But some guys just have it in game and others don't. And I think Porter, regardless to me, after seeing something like that, regardless of what he runs, I know what I'm getting between the lines, which is ultimately what we're measuring for anyway, right? So it'd be great if he does run something very well and I can kind of check that box. But if he doesn't, we saw it. We know what we saw. Yeah. So don't overreact on Darian Porter.
We didn't talk about running backs at all, which is crazy considering there's like 8 or 9 of them that are getting a lot of hype right now. But I think you could just basically take the conversation we had with cornerback and just plug it with RB saying like there's a bunch of guys with a lot to gain. And at the end of the day, the combine really might be something where if a team has 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 guys tight in, you know, in their draft order, one guy might get moved up in front of the other. So it is kind of a interesting conversation to be had about the running back group, but I'm happy we're talking about them after the combine, right? Because typically when I read out the little introduction on each player, I don't have any of that information right now, but I will have it then. And that actually may decide for the running back position, some of the order that we have these guys in.
If Amarian Hampton runs a 4.42 or 4.43, his stock is going to go through the absolute roof. People are going to talk about him nonstop. When, to me, even if he decides just not to run at all, he's still a fantastic player and the RB2 in this class, in my opinion. So, I'm trying to be flatline when it comes to something like that, but I could see him getting a lot of buzz if he runs really well because he's powerful. He's explosive. He checks every other box pretty much, is a really good forward moving player. So yeah, Amarian Hampton with his physical archetype is someone who could really gain a lot of buzz by running well. And Travion Henderson can run very well. So that might be one where we expect him to run well, but again, people are going to just go nuts over it when he actually does it at the combine. So yeah, I think running backs, like you said, kind of like the corners here, lots of good ones. Does anyone separate themselves in that vein? But yeah, lots of good ones to choose from.
All right. Well, this was supposed to be like a 25-minute one. We're going on 40 minutes, so we're going to wrap this up. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the combine. Definitely tune in. Starts again Thursday. But give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X at all22_PFF. Give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast, and have a great day.